It's awful,
right? Because there's going to be a point where you can't afford it.
Exactly.
You know, and everybody, so we want affordable housing. Well, that word is real easy to say and real hard to do.
Well, and because of these type of discussions and the studies that the Fed has done, they understand that inflation really is painful for a lot of people. And so that's why you're seeing the moves yesterday and the announcements yesterday. And honestly, the stock market went up. And the market went up, even though higher inflation is not necessarily good for stocks. Having the certainty that the Fed is going to act right, as opposed just to have this uncertainty of what was going to happen, gave confidence to the markets, and so you saw the markets go up yesterday. But I'm going to kind of go into the markets a little bit more. They've had a great run over the past number of years. You know, we had this quick drop off when COVID first started, but since COVID has come on, you know, stocks have gone up by upwards of 45% or more. Wow. Depending if you're talking more tech stocks or more household type stocks, this is not going to continue. It's going to give people a false sense of security because they said, well, I made 25% this year, and last year I made 30%. So, man, I'm smart as can be. Well, you got to look under the hood a little bit. So this year, the markets are up roughly 20%, right? The stock markets in general, the U.S. stock markets. Look under the hood, 35% of those gains came out of just five stocks: Tesla, Nvidia, the chip maker, Google, Microsoft, and Apple. Not Amazon, not Facebook.
That surprises me on Facebook and Amazon both.
If you take the returns of those companies outside the calculations, the markets are only up 5%. That means you have, out of the S&P 500, you've got 495 stocks that are only going up, that have only gone up 5%. That's the real level of market returns. So unless you happen to be the most brilliant people in the world that can pick those right stocks for every year, and that's tough to do, you need to have a much reduced expectations about what to get, you're going to get out of the markets going forward.
Okay, I want you to do a calculation for me because you're real good at this. If we weren't so young and dumb back at UT, when our sweet mate told us we needed to buy this particular stock and we laughed at him, because we didn't have any money for stock. Y'all might have heard of it. It's called it's a fruit. Apple.
Apple.
Mm-hmm. What would it be worth today?
I will tell you this.
Would we be doing this radio show right now?
The money that we spent on beer back then, yes. And if we had put that into Apple stock, we wouldn't be doing the radio show. Yeah. And we'd probably be sitting on a boat someplace.
Yeah.
A big boat.
So sometimes that shiny diamond's right in front of your eye and you don't see it.
It's across the board. The returns are much more muted than people think. And there are a lot of companies that either are not profitable and or just barely eking out a profit. So you really need to be thinking about quality moving forward, buying quality stocks. Because if things do start to slow down, it's going to be toughest on the weakest companies. And so anyway, just some things to think about. And the other thing is, you know, if you look at bonds, you know, bonds are sensitive to interest rates. And the longer term a bond you have, the more sensitive it is. Longer term meaning that it will mature in, say, 20 or 30 years as opposed to, say, 3 months or a year or two.
Well, that makes sense, though.
And so if you have rising interest rates, then those long-term bonds are really going to get
a ding.
Correct. Yeah. And so you're going to need muted expectations as well for the fixed income markets. And so,
but you know one thing I told both my daughters, I don't think either one of them listened. I said, but even if the rates are low, even if this is, if you do save money, you still have money.
Yes, you do.
You have something. If it has 0% interest on it or 0%, you still have that money.
Right.
Versus spending it.
But if you take that, if you just say, you know what, I'm going to protect myself, I'm going to take this money, and I'm going to stick it underneath my mattress.
Yeah.
You know what? With inflation where it is,
you lose money.
This time next year, you're going to have $95 instead of $100 on the mattress, effectively. So you need to still keep your investment activities in place, and don't necessarily venture for the plans you have in place.
Did you ever read The Richest Man in Babylon? That little bitty thin book I had? That's why I read the whole book. Yeah.
Yes, Scott and I both have a tendency to read very thin books.
Yes. But I'm going to tell you, just a little advice here. I think it's one of the best books I've ever read in my life. One of the few books I've read the whole book. But it basically talks about just that.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm going to give you a quick version. Is basically the man works, he saves his money. Well, then he has his money, Well, he's going to go buy jewels to get more money.
Mm-hmm.
Well, he gets swindled. He buys rocks and glass. So you need to save your money. And it basically says take 10% of what you make and put it aside.
Correct.
But what it also says is make the take the 10% you save and put it aside in something that's going to be okay.
Exactly.
Safe.
You do.
You know.
But not necessarily just stick everything in safety places.
Right.
You need risk to have kind of a balance. You need to have some that are going to be more risky, not quite as liquid, meaning you couldn't just cash it out today.
Buy houses.
And then you have the flip side, which is, you know, those that are more conservative that you can sell quickly if you need cash, and you know, the returns aren't going to be there, but you need that spectrum. It's called diversification, and it's worked for a lot of years.
Well, it is. I agree with David 100%. You want a safety net.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you don't want to. You don't want to. You know, we talked about Bitcoin last time David was here, and I think he compared that to going to Vegas. By the way, I just got back from Vegas. Don't recommend it. I should have bought Bitcoin instead. You don't want to be just all in on something. Because if it goes bad, you go bad.
Right, right.
You know, even in the stock market, I still remember people that went all in, and this is back in the mid-80s,
mm-hmm.
and they lost everything they had. You know, I saw people that bought a lot of real estate back in the early 80s and got foreclosed on.
Exactly.
So you need to have diversification there.
But you also have to have a little bit of risk tolerance as well. So
yes.
You know, the typical stock market for the year has 2 to 3 pullbacks, and those pullbacks can typically be between 10% and 20%. Those aren't recessions; they're just typical market pullbacks where prices have gotten a little bit fluffy, and they're pulling back to norm. So you don't want to see this pullback of 10% going, oh my goodness, this is going to continue and continue. It may drop further, but the reality is we've got a strong economy, and we've got a really smart Fed out there helping us out. And so what you're going to see is you need to just live with that downturn a little bit and with the expectation of going up. And that cash that you just said that you want to put aside, put it to use then. After it's pulled back, say 10%, put some money to work, some
right.
additional money. Maybe it drops a little further, put some more money to work.
Hey, David, Jeremy, did you learn something?
Oh, yes.
Always. Hey, we appreciate you coming and being here.
Well, you
folks,
bet.
We appreciate you listening in, and we'll catch you next week.